Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Right, I have been watching Money in the Bank for a long ass time, and I have finally decided I should be the one to scale the ladder, and I should be the one to get the briefcase. Let's go. Well, that did not go to plan. My parents were right. I'm a disappointment. And I'm also Simon from What Culture. Hello, thank you for joining me as always on a crazy Sunday, because WWE has decided if they do have a good pay-per-view premium live event, which they deem to be bigger than the rest, they're going to put on a Saturday rather than a Sunday. And I've been watching wrestling for a long ass time, and I still find this very weird. However, does it get an up or does it get a down? We discover all of this by giving the good bits an up and the bad bits a down. Shotzi versus Becky Lynch versus Alexa Bliss versus Oscar versus Raquel Rodriguez versus Liv Morgan versus Oscar was our first match on Money in the Bank, and it was a Money in the Bank ladder match. You'll be pleased to know, Becky Lynch was cheered like a hero throughout. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I like the Big Times Bet character. I think it's very entertaining. But I think now we've just got to call it for what it is and switch everything back. It did start great, though, because everybody went for ladders, which allowed Oscar and Becky Lynch to look at each other for a little while. And I enjoyed this because, of course, they've been feuding for ages. And then they started to get into a fight. Oscar got the better of this and she started to climb up a ladder, or at least set one up. What did the fans do? They went, Becky, Becky. Now look, don't get me wrong. They were still also very keen on the Empress of Tomorrow, but come on. We were around about 3 minutes in by this stage, so of course the ladder started to get used as a weapon. And at one point it actually looked like Raquel Rodriguez was going to pick up Liv Morgan and Becky Lynch, who were on a ladder. And when that didn't work, because it's a hard thing to do, she just double suplexed them into the steel. And every time I go like this, some people, I was speaking to someone the other day who was like, oh man, all the ladders in wrestling are fake. I'm like, one, where would you buy a fake ladder? And two, who would be able to invent one that was basically made out of cushion material, but also somehow could support human weight? The tip off the top of the ladder spot soon happened, and this was Becky Lynch doing it to Oscar and Lacey Evans. But the problem with this now is we have seen such crazy bumps that when you do a normal one like this, it just doesn't have any impact. And doesn't that just go to show how far the bar has been risen? As we have brought up Lacey as well, after she had taken out Shotzi and she started to climb the ladder, everybody started to boo. So somehow this experiment has not worked. Raquel stopped her, much to the crowd's pleasure. And then from nowhere, Liv Morgan was up there as well, and she hit a sunset flip powerbomb. Now, I'm sorry, but how is this even possible? And sure, it was a little bit wonky-donky at some points, but this is someone over one side of a ladder, diving over the top, grabbing somebody else, and then pulling them down and smashing them on the mat. I've gone crazy. You think Rodriguez would have just grabbed the briefcase after this, but she was so shocked by what she'd just seen, I suppose she forgot. But then, my word, I don't know what happened here, but Shotzi went to give an electric chair to Alexa Bliss, and they just fell down into the ladders at the most horrible angle, and it looked like it had gone totally wrong. That's when I was like, well, that's how we managed to get a reaction. You crumple up into the thing like the worst thing ever has just happened. This had happened again when Shotzi went sent on Becky Lynch, and Lynch moved out of the way, and Shotzi just whammed her head on the ladder. Now, I'm pretty sure she was bleeding after this, and I mean this. I mean this from the bottom of my tootsie toes. I genuinely hope she is okay, because that looked horrendous and probably worse than anything else on the pay-per-view. Yeah, premium live event. These ladders just didn't want to play ball either, because after Raquel had set up a ladder bridge at ringside, Oscar was laying on it, and Becky went to slam her through it after she too jumped off a ladder. It didn't break. Once again, I was going, ow, my back, because it looked horrible. We then did get the bigger ladder fall spot because Becky pushed off Shotzi, Alexa, Raquel, and Lacey Evans. And that, of course, meant now she was able to go and climb rung by damn rung and get the briefcase. But at the last moment, Liv Morgan teleported in from Starship Enterprise. Becky pushed her off the ladder, but Liv went to the top rope, pushed herself back off, which took some real timing and some real precision. She twonked Becky, she got her hands on the briefcase, I was like, no, surely not. She then undid the clip, I was like, no, surely not. And then she got it, I was like, hot damn, Liv Morgan is Miss Money in the Bank. So how great was this? I mean, how long have we waited? And it's always good when WWE goes, well, we have a potential star here, why don't we make them Money in the Bank and see what happens? But no, don't worry, we are not done here, but I shall get back to you later. And look, sure, I know what some people are going to say, well, it wasn't the best ladder match I've ever seen. No, it wasn't, but I'll be honest with you. One of these would have to be an absolute train wreck for me not to give it an up, because the risks that they take and the crazy things that they all do, I just respect it so damn much. Hence why I'm giving it an up. Also, Liv Morgan won. WWE then re-aired that Cody Rhodes interview they played on Raw. And the only reason I throw this in here is because over the weekend there was a rumour that Cody was going to win the Money in the Bank and tell everyone, ha-ha, I'm cashing in at WrestleMania. That's a massive shame because that would have been awesome. And while I hope that nobody gets hurt, now the American Nightmare is out with this injury and he had that amazing performance at Hell in a Cell, I actually think when he does come back, he's gonna be a bigger star than ever. Wait and see. Talking about weekend rumors as well, over the last couple of days, it has come out that John Cena may not actually be at SummerSlam after all, meaning come to the end of July, you ain't gonna see him. Now, who knows what's true and what's not true, but it did have a massive impact on the match that came next, because it was Theory versus Bobby Lashley for the United States title. And I was like, well, if Theory isn't going to be facing John Cena now at the hottest event of the summer, what do we do here? As it turned out, he lost. This was really fun though, because one, the crowd was so into Bobby Lashley, and two, that made me feel all warm and fuzzy in my tum-tum, because for some reason, I just really like the guy. I think it's because he's been busting his ass for the last 20 years, and finally he deserves his props. So yeah, he's a brand new champ. Now at first I had this horrible feeling that we were gonna get to Raw and he was just gonna lose. I call that the Vince Russo part of my brain, but given what happens in the main event, I don't think that's going to happen. And of course, as always, because Bobby Lashley is a big man, he acted like a big man for a good few minutes. Theory knew he had to do something, so he did indeed throw Lashley into Rita the ring post, but you know the deal. All is fair in love and war. So at one point, Bob picked up Theory and he too threw him into Rita. And that one especially was devastating. Things then did slow down a little bit because Theory applied a chin rock and then punched Bobby Lashley for a little while. But then when he went for his rolling drop kick, Bobby Lashley caught him midair and just slammed his ass. And I was like, damn, that man a freak. Theory was still able to hit a spear, which was meant to be a big tease for the A-Town Down, or whatever the hell we're calling it. But instead, Bobby Lashley just got out of it. He applied the hurt lock. I was like, I'm sure Theory's gonna get out of this. But he didn't, he tapped out and he lost. This just got such a good reaction though, you couldn't help but enjoy it. And once again, I'm just like seeing good things happen to Bobby Lashley. I don't even know why. Yeah, this was fine. We're never gonna talk about it again, but it's getting it up. Liv Morgan was then backstage doing an interview and she went into tease mode because she was all like, oh, I think I'm going to hold on to this briefcase until WrestleMania. But for now, I'm just gonna celebrate. You should take that information and store it into your brain for later. This also led into Bianca Belair versus Carmella, and look, let's just be totally honest here. The problem this match had is that nobody actually believed that Carmella was going to win. I didn't believe that Carmella was going to win. You didn't believe that Kamala was going to win. My mum didn't believe that Carmella was going to win, and that's a massive problem because she didn't even watch wrestling. But it did mean that this spread far and wide, and let's not even pretend that WWE didn't know about this either, because they kept this super duper short. But I tell you this, it was fine. Like, we know about all the shifts that brought us here in the first place. Bianca Belair is a superstar who's only going to get bigger, and Carmella is vastly underrated. This was all good. And there's not really much to say about it either. Bianca hit these two devastating backbreakers at one point, and I was like, yeah, you get a Bane. And yes, later on, Carmella went for the Bronco Buster. And any time somebody goes for the Bronco Buster, I'm going to remind you that said individual has decided, I know how I'm going to be successful at wrestling. I'm going to run at that person with my groin. And it was the same with X-Pac. I demand answers. She also used Belair's hair against her at one point because everybody enjoys doing that. And then eventually Bianca hit this delayed vertical suplex. That was tremendous. And the finish made me laugh. Carmella was all going, man, you suck. I don't like you. Slap, 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 slap. So Bianca Belair was like, all right, hit her with the KOD. 1, 2, 3. The only real worry I do have is I think WWE wants to do a rematch here because Carmella beat up Bianca afterwards. And in no universe, in no alternative reality, can you justify that happening? I mean, this went about 7 minutes and Carmella got murked. We do have to call it a clean finish though, so bring down the board. It rolls up to 8. I'm getting worried about this board, but I found a way to spin it. I think all these clean finishes have been happening ever since we introduced the counter. Either that or I've just been indoctrinated.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
We had a SummerSlam commercial after this that focused on Logan Paul, and yes, he was booed. Now, if you actually dive into this, I think both Logan and WWE want him to be a babyface, and this is absolutely ridiculous. So listen to me, WWE. You need to find Mr. Paul. You need to sit him down and tell him he has to be a heel. Otherwise, you're going to do Lowe's versus The Miz, and I promise you this, The Miz is going to be a massive babyface. And then we got an advert, I presume, because Alexa Bliss barged into her locker room and started to yell at Lily, who is an inanimate object, because she had bought a bunch of clothes and other items using the WWE credit card. Now this cracked me up because one, the fans booed it, and that always makes me laugh. But also two, once again, in no world can a doll go out there and buy some things, so this was just a step too far. I am of course joking, and what I would like WWE to do when we do get to Raw is ensure that Lily has dinner with Adam Pearce and then also drives him home. We're gonna have a quick break in proceedings too, because you lot are a lovely bunch. And we had some signs. So firstly, it's an up for Davon and his mum. I mean, he literally wrote that on the sign, so who am I to take that away from him? So you and your mother are getting an up. And then there was another guy who asked for a down. I've told you once, I'd tell you 1,000 times, I will do whatever you tell me to do. I am just a conduit for whatever you want. So I'm giving someone a down. I don't think we've ever done that before, but the sign said, Simon, give me a down. Your wish is my command. Down. And just quickly too, for those that can't handle it when I do this, here's a little bit of a secret for you. When you get to the end of the Money in the Bank ups and downs show, Just subtract one up and one down, and you will see what we gave the premium live event. I know it's crazy. Sometimes it just works. And then the Street Profits and the Usos for the Everything Tag Team titles absolutely killed it. So make sure you watch the end of this video and then go check out this match. Flub me, it was great. Jimmy and Jay cut a promo beforehand, and during all of this, the commentary team kept telling us that Angelo Dawkins and Montez Ford apparently are having some problems. So surely we are now planting those seeds for a breakup. I can't make up my mind. Is it too soon? Is it not too soon? Do I really care deep down in my tum-tum? I don't know. Fans were wonderful again as they treated the Usos like the worst people on the planet and the Street Profits like they were heroes. And early on, everybody was just flipping their way out of everybody else. Like, I think Jimmy went for a flip at one point, so Dawkins just cartwheeled out of the way. And then there were spine busters, there was frog splash attempts, and Montez Ford telling the crowd to tell the Usos to suck it. So it was 1998 all over again. Jimmy and Jay then suplexed Dawkins into Rita the ring post. So once again, I was like, oh my gosh, why are we doing all this stuff? And this allowed the Usos to run wild for a while, even when Montez Ford got in there, because he got blasted with super kicks. This also carried on because Jay then hit Angelo with yet another super kick, and by this point, the crowd had realized, oh man, this is gonna be a good match, so they started cheering for the Usos as well. But I tell you, who even cares? It also meant we reserved another hot tag for Angelo Dawkins, and that was nice, because we rarely see it. And not only did he hit this crazy dive, but he then hit this swinging DDT, and I don't know what happened, but I totally bought it. So the ref went one, the ref went two, and before we got to the three, I was like, oh my God, tag team title change. It didn't happen. He also then threw Jim into the air, and Ford caught him and hit this back suplex, and that was brilliant. And then they hit the Doomsday Blockbuster, and once again, I thought we were done. False finish. This happened one more time after the Usos had hit more super kicks, so this was just absolutely brilliant. And it's when Ford decided, well, I can see my opponents outside of the ring, so I'm going to run to the corner post, and I'm going to dive majestically over. And I tell you this, I could see it 100 times, and I will never get over it. I mean, it really is ridiculous, because I am more realistic than it, and I don't even know what that means. And by this point, all four dudes were looking at each other, so they just started to punch each other in the face as all the fans chanted, "Fight forever." I think that may have been a little bit long, but for a good while, I would have stuck with it. So this was basically a tag klaxon moment, ha, huh? And after we had seen a few moves, we got a couple more super kicks. The Usos did hit the 1D. 1, 2, 3. Still your tag team champions. And still not going to get murdered by Roman Reigns. So we also have to bring down the counter, because that is 9 clean finishes in WWE. Or is it? Because we got a replay after this that very clearly showed that Montez Ford's shoulder was off the mat. And this wasn't one of those, oh no, we've done an accident, we better retroactively fit it in. Not at all, because the commentators were talking about it, and so was the Street Profits. So bring that counter down, scrub out that 9, put it back down to 8, because we got some shenanigans. This is a really nice story though, because I'm well up for seeing them go at it again. And if it does end with the Street Profits breaking up, well, that's kind of an interesting narrative. So once again, this was flubbing great. And these guys absolutely rule. Also, everybody in this should be over the moon about the performance they just put on, which is kind of ironic, because Montez Ford could probably jump over it. There was then a Kevin Owens video package after this, and I got a little bit sad deep down, because it was like, oh no, what if he was going to win Money in the Bank, and now he wasn't able to? But I do believe he is injured, so I hope he's okay. And then we got another vignette. Now, it was super weird, as Michael Cole told us, because there was a bunch of candles and there was a bunch of dark lighting. So straight away, everyone was like, oh, it's Bray Wyatt. Bray Wyatt's coming back to WWE. Now, look, it could be Bray Wyatt. We don't know. I don't think it is. Because also in this video, we had Jeff Hardy's wristband. We had Kurt Angle's Olympic gold medal. We had a cross that kind of looked like The Undertaker's. And we had a license plate that said Latino Heat. And do you know who was taking all of those wrestlers that just came out of my mouth on in big feuds? And do you know who had a similar video to like this when they debuted? The answer is Edge. So I'm just throwing it out there. I bet it is the Rated R Superstar, and this is just a good way to repackage him after all that strange stuff with the Judgment Day. And then Liv Morgan proved that she is a damn massive liar. I tell you this, good for her, hell yeah. I'm sure you've already figured it out, but it was Natalya versus Ronda Rousey for the SmackDown Women's Championship. And look, this was really good. These two are friends, so they have super duper good chemistry, and they go out of the way to make the other person look good. And they told a solid story here of Natalia going after Ronda Rousey's limbs to the point she had a limp. The reason I'm zooming through it though is because a major event happened afterwards, so of course, this is what you want me to talk about. Like, if I just dropped into a video, oh, I'm filming a movie with The Rock tomorrow, but beforehand, I wanted to tell you about my last gym session, you'd be like, Miller, we don't care about your pecs. Tell us about Dwayne. We did make sure that we did Ronda does Natalia's finish, so Natalia does Rousey's finish, but eventually Ronda did get her in the armbar. Natalia had to tap out, and as Ronda was going, I'm still the champ, I am so happy for me, Liv Morgan's music hit. This place went crazy. Now, I do have to admit that WWE has to stop doing this with the women's briefcase, because I'm pretty sure, out of everybody that has won it, only Carmella has held onto it for longer than 24 hours. But in this instance, it doesn't matter, because then it was Liv Morgan versus Ronda Rousey. And do you know how many times Ronda Rousey has lost in WWE since she debuted back in, like, 1822? Twice. And both of those were kind of contentious, but here, Liv Morgan won. There's also plenty of teasing here, because at first Ronda got Liv Morgan in the ankle locks. It's like, oh no, she's gonna tap out. But then she kicked Ronda in her bad knee, so she was back to walking like a crab. And then all my dreams came true, to the point I may retire from life, because Morgan, this hero, this warrior, the greatest person in the planet, then hit the most devastating move in all of sports entertainment, the surprise roll-up to become a champion. I have something in my eye. This was a proper moment though, because the crowd loved it and you could just see the joy etched onto Liv's face. So screw it. The match itself, Ronda versus Natty, that's getting an up. But for everything that happened afterwards, it's not just an up, it's a golden up. Because once again, like Bob earlier, it's just so nice to see good things happen to good people. And just go check out social media. Everybody is saying nice things about Liv Morgan because she's a nice person, she's passionate, and she tries hard. Oodalally. I am going to be just a little bit of a dick and say that I wasn't a massive fan of Ronda hugging Liv Morgan afterwards, like, oh, you did it, you did it. Because I like this idea that if you do cash in, you're a little bit of an asshole. However, did it make Liv feel like a bigger star? You bet your ass. And then it turned out that we weren't done with surprises either. Because do you remember all that ranting and raving I did about theory like 5 minutes ago? If you didn't, please see a doctor because something is terribly wrong. Well, the reason we did it is because there was a surprise entrant in the men's Money in the Bank ladder match, and it was Theory. Because yeah, after Drew McIntyre, Sheamus, Sami Zayn, Omos, Seth Rollins, Riddle, and Madcap Moss had entered, Adam Pearce walked out and went, hi, I've got a little tease for all of you. There's somebody else in this match. And Theory walked out. Now, like, I totally understand here, and the commentary team did a good job in telling us, well, this is Vince McMahon up to his old tricks. I just got to be honest with you, I don't like it. I can't really tell you why. I think it probably comes down to the fact that everybody else had to qualify and then somebody else swans in, so it makes all that seem pointless. And also it telegraphed the ending because you're like, well, you're not going to have Theory lose the US Championship, be putting Money in the Bank and then lose again. I just don't think this was the best idea in the world. I'm giving it a down. That aside though, you know the deal with Money in the Bank. Rarely misses. Omos, of course, murdered everyone in the early going, because WWE's story will always be, well, he's such a big man, how are you going to stop him? And as it turned out, every single person hit their big move on him, and then they buried him under some ladders. Now, I'm not sure how they thought that was going to stop him, because I could have pushed a bunch of ladders off of me, and I'm tiny compared to Omos. That's what we did. Before this, though, we did ensure that Sami Zayn and Madcap Moss had their moment. Once again, it was Omos that took them out. And this is when this poor giant had to climb a ladder. Now, look, climbing a ladder is hard anyway. I think we all forget this. But when you're 7'3", it must be near impossible. And he looked terrified. And I felt so sorry for him because he was going to have to go up at some point. But it was like, oh my gosh, somebody please help me. Around this time, Theory was able to climb the ladder too. And he was about to grab the briefcase and everybody booed him. So you do have to give credit to WWE because they are getting the right reaction. It's like me when I go home. The disaster then started because Sami Zayn got powerbombed onto one little by Moss. And then poor Sheamus was thrown into another one. I thought his back broke. And it got super crazy when Riddle climbed up to another ladder and hit a floating bro. Now, I get it. Everybody was down there waiting below. But the sheer height and the fall couldn't do it. This is when Omos was back from the dead, but almost instantly he was hit with a bunch of other finishing moves. And the spot we came up with here, because every single person beat him up on the outside, they picked him up and they powerbombed him through Alan the announce table. and this looks so damn badass, I highly suggest you go and see it. The nonsense then started unloading because Butch was there jumping onto Drew McIntyre's back to try and stop him, but he got Claymore kicked, and when Sheamus and Drew were going at it again, this is when Sammy got there, and he pushed them off the ladder and they went crashing into another one. And I get that we've seen worse bumps than this, but when you watch the impact, it just makes you shudder. The same for Moss when Seth knocked him off because he landed horribly. And then, yeah, Riddle was up there. He saw Seth Rollins. They hit a super ultra RKO and bless Seth Rollins. He took this flat as a pancake. Round of applause all round. We also made sure we were going to piss off the audience at this point because it really did look like Riddle was going to win and everybody wanted him to. But this is when Theory was back. He just smacked Riddle over and over. He fell to the canvas. And then, yeah, we grabbed the briefcase. And he is now Mr. Money in the Bank. We also continue to tease that this will be cashed in after the main event of SummerSlam. And this is why the Ronda Rousey cash-in was so smart. Because now you start thinking to yourself, well, they did it with Ronda Rousey. Maybe they'll do it with Roman Reigns. Maybe they'll do it with Brock Lesnar. And if you do give that moment to Theory, I tell you, you're definitely going to create a star. So much like earlier, this was really good because they're always really good, but it wasn't the best, and I'm totally cool with Theory winning it. I just think he should have gotten the match another way. Yang it up. Which did indeed bring us to the end of the Money in the Bank pay-per-view, every damn time, premium live event. And look, it only went 3 hours. You had a couple of crazy matches. You had a brilliant moment with Liv Morgan. I had no problem with this at all. Yang it up.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.